Good morning. I'm Neil, and a special welcome to all of you. Whether you're new or you're regular, it's great that you're here. As Josh and Barry have told us, we're starting this new series today from the book of Deuteronomy. And some of you have probably never heard of Deuteronomy. It is a bit obscure, way back in the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Bible. And I remember once when I was a young Christian, I went to church one Sunday night, and the leader of the service, like Ed is leading our service today, said, "I want you to talk to the person next to you." We were just starting a new series on the book of Colossians, and I want you to tell them what you know about Colossians. And I looked over, and the person I was sitting next to was Philip Jensen. He was the minister. And I knew nothing. And so, don't do that, Ed. I'm glad you didn't do that. That's good. Some of us don't know anything about Deuteronomy. Others of us maybe do know something about Deuteronomy. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, 34 chapters, Old Testament, lots of laws, 3,400 years ago. Is this going to go well? 10 weeks of a series on the Old Testament. Why should we get excited about Deuteronomy? Well, that's my challenge in these next few minutes, is to try and enthuse you about why we're doing this series and why I think it's going to be a really great thing for us to give our attention to. And I want to ask three questions. I want to ask, why read Deuteronomy? I want to ask, where does it fit in the Bible story? And then I want to finish with, what is Deuteronomy? So firstly, why read Deuteronomy? And I've got a couple of quick reasons. Five, in fact. The first is because it's God's word to us. It's in the Bible. It's not just ancient history. This is God's living word that he has given and preserved for us in 2019 to hear and put into practice. As we hear this word, we're going to get to know God better and know how to respond rightly to him. And it's a really key book in the Bible, Deuteronomy. All the books of the Bible are important, but Deuteronomy comes at a vital kind of turning point in the story of God and his people. I don't know if you can make sense of this. This is a list of all of the 66 books of the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. It's got five. And the first five books are kind of the foundation of the whole story of the Bible. And Deuteronomy is the fifth book that kind of interprets and wraps up the first four. It kind of tells us this is how you make sense of everything that's happened. And at the same time, it explains what's about to happen in the next 1,000 years or so of the history of Israel in these books here. So Deuteronomy is a crucial key for understanding the whole Old Testament. But it's also really important when we come to the New Testament, because the New Testament writers, Jesus and the apostles, actually quote Deuteronomy 55 times in the New Testament. They thought that Deuteronomy was really important. The number one quoted book in the New Testament is Psalms, number two is Isaiah, and number three is Deuteronomy. If we want to understand the Bible, it's really good for us to give our attention to Deuteronomy. Third reason, this book shows us God and how to respond to him. We are going to see a rich picture of God. We're going to see his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, and also his holiness, his justice. We're going to see all of these things, and we'll be drawn to bow before him, to trust him, and to obey him. At least I hope we will be. It also urges us to respond. Deuteronomy is not a book that just gives you information for a Trivial Pursuit competition sometime. Deuteronomy is a book that urges us to respond rightly to God. For Deuteronomy, how we respond to God is a matter of life and death. And Deuteronomy urges us, whatever you do, choose life. Respond rightly to God. Love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. If you want to experience his blessings, you've got to trust him and obey him. And if you do, you will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. And finally, Deuteronomy points us to Jesus. Because one of the things that we'll see as we read through this book is that even with the best of intentions, we human beings are not capable of fully trusting and obeying God. In fact, we are sinful and rebellious. And we need a better saviour than Moses. We need a better covenant than the old covenant that God made with Israel. We need Jesus. And God in Jesus has given us a better way to relate to him. And so Deuteronomy is going to, I hope, really strengthen our faith and hopefully set our hearts on fire to trust and obey Jesus. That's the longest answer to the question. Second one, where does Deuteronomy fit in the story? And Barry's kind of done that with his family spot for us in some ways. Basically, just to say one thing it's important to say, this is 1,400 years before Jesus, way back when God started dealing with humanity through the nation of Israel. And the background is that God made a promise to Abraham, and he promised him three things. He said, to Abraham and your descendants, I'm going to make you into a great nation, lots of people. I'm going to give you a land to live in, the land of Canaan. And I'm going to bless you. And through you, I'm going to bring blessing to the whole world. This is actually God's plan for the whole creation. He's going to work through this family. And as we read through the story, we find that the descendants of Abraham end up in Egypt for 400 years in slavery, but while they're there, they get on with it, they breed like rabbits, and they've got a great nation of people. And then God rescues them from slavery and takes them to Mount Sinai, where he makes a covenant with them, which is kind of like a wedding ceremony, where he says, this is what I'm promising to you, I'm going to be your God, and this is what you're doing towards me, you're going to be my people. And he gives them the law. And then he tells them to go up and take delivery, if you like, of the land that he's promised to give them. And so this is where we need a map. And you can see that Mount Sinai is here. They came out of Egypt down to Mount Sinai. And then God said, okay, go up here and take hold of the promised land. So they head up here to this place, Kadesh Barnea. Now I want you to look in your Bibles. Open your Bibles, please. And I want you to have a look at something here at the very start of the book of Deuteronomy. And make sure you keep your finger here, because you'll need to find it again in a few moments for our Bible reading. But I want you to look at verse 2. We get some important information here at the very start of the book. Verse 2, we'll come back to verse 1 in a moment, but verse 2 tells us that it's an 11-day journey from Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai, up to Kadesh Barnea, which is on the border of the Promised Land. 11 days is what it should have taken them to get to the edge of the Promised Land, when they could go from there in to conquer the land. But then look at verse 3. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them. 40 years later, they still haven't gone into the Promised Land. Now, I've had some kind of handyman jobs that kind of blow out and take longer than I thought. And sometimes I've tried, you know, I always estimate the lowest possible time that it'll take me to get somewhere, and it always takes longer. But 11 days to 40 years is a pretty bad estimate, isn't it? What went wrong? Well, what went wrong was when they got here to go into the land, the people, we'll hear more about this in the actual passage, but the people rebelled against God, and God was angry with them. And he said, you're not keeping your side of the deal. And so he condemned that generation to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. So they just kind of camped around here and wandered around, around, around in circles for 40 years until all of the people who were of age in that generation had died out, except for two faithful men, Caleb and Joshua. They're the ones who said, no, we should go in and we should trust God and go in and take the land. But everyone else said, no, we're not going to do it. And so for 40 years, they wandered around while all the parents' generation died out. And then God told them to go up here, and they made it to here. And this is where they are at the start of Deuteronomy, camped right there on the border of the Promised Land, on the plains of Moab, ready for attempt number two to enter into the Promised Land. Can you see what a big moment this is for the people who were listening to the book of Deuteronomy when it was first given? Moses, who's 120 years old at this stage, he's been leading them, he's a living legend in their history for 40 years through all of this, out of the Exodus from Egypt, through the wilderness, he stands up to this new generation about to take the land, and he addresses them. This is a massive moment, and it's so poignant because Moses is about to die. And he himself is part of the problem, and he's not going to go into the land either. And so here is this great man, great, great man, who's been leading the nation, speaking to the new generation, saying, make sure whatever you do that you don't mess it up this time. You can trust God. Go and take the land. He's going to give it to you. Choose life. In 34 chapters, we can lose the power of the moment if we're not careful. But this is a big moment in the history of God's people. And finally, what then is Deuteronomy? Well, Deuteronomy, this is where verse 1 comes in. Have a look at verse 1. It tells you what Deuteronomy is. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness. And then it lists a whole lot of details, which is just that spot right there on the plains just outside the Jordan River. And so this is basically, Deuteronomy is mostly a long speech that Moses gave on that day to the people. It's kind of like, you know, imagine, you know, Nelson Mandela addressing the nation of South Africa just when they're about to have the first free elections. You know, imagine it's a State of the Union address just about when war is about to happen and the nation's about to go in. It's that kind of moment. And Moses speaks, and as you go through, you actually see in the contents that it kind of divides up into three sections, three speeches, if you like. Some people say they're three speeches. It could be that, but then Moses was 120, and maybe he needed to have a bit of a sit down halfway through and have a bit of a break. So maybe I think it was probably one speech in three sections. Chapters 1 to 4, which we're going to dip into today, he starts with a history of what's gone on in the past, and then an appeal, which we'll look at next week. And then we get that long section from 5 to 28, where he reminds the people of God's grace, what kind of God he is, and the response that he demands to love him and to obey his commands. And he gives us, from about chapter 12 to 28, a lot of detailed commands about how to please him when you get into the land. And it's like he's taking the law that was given at Mount Sinai and giving it to them again. That's why Deuteronomy is called Deuteronomy, because the roots of meaning of the word is Deutero, second, and nomos, law, second law. That's why it's called Deuteronomy. And then there's a really stirring appeal in chapters 29 and 30. As they renew the covenant, the people say, yeah, we're with God this time. And Moses calls them to choose life. And then at the end, there's some final words. And spoiler alert, the death of Moses. Moses dies and he is buried. He doesn't go into the land. And which is, again, a powerful statement, I think, that even the best of them, if they rebel against God and don't trust God, he's not going to make it into his promised land. And so we need a better saviour than Moses. So I hope you're inspired to get into Deuteronomy. The Bible studies, if your group wants to use them on the website, or if you want to use them on your own, or just try and read through it bit by bit and read ahead, that will really help you, because we're not going to be able to read the whole lot in church. But I hope you're inspired and excited that this book is going to be good.